It's good to see you. Hope you'll pray for us this morning during the time that we try to stand before you. Pray that the things that we might present would be of interest to you and glory to God. So we want to make sure that while we're here, we're worshiping and praising Him. We know that as we declare His Word, there's no doubt that God's Word, just in and of itself, should praise Him. But as we read it, we want to make sure that we realize and expect and understand something that maybe I know I have probably failed in over the years, but making sure we understand this is God's Word. It's not Charles Kitchen's Word. It's God's Word. And as we read that, we ought to respect it and take the blessing that comes from it in that manner. I want to turn, if we can, this morning. We've talked a number of Sundays. Last Sunday we talked about memorials in the subject that we've been going on for a number of weeks, talking about remembrance and about remembering things that God has laid before us. And as we talked about that, I'll certainly not give a whole subject scan back across the things that we've talked about, but we started this a number of weeks ago talking in 2 Peter, and in 2 Peter he says Peter said that he always wanted to put the people in remembrance of the of God's Word, even though they were established in it. He wanted to repeat it over and over again to them, because he said as long as he was in this tabernacle, he wanted to put them in remembrance. And I think I've said this several times, but the reason Peter, who was an inspired man of God, wrote those things is because he knows how forgetful we are. And I think it's good for us to know how forgetful we are, and so that we recognize the need to hear God's Word. It's something we need to hear. I used to somewhat, I guess, in some respect, I would apologize. Say, well, you know, I've probably spoken on this before. Well, I'm not going to do that, in some respects in the future, because I think as I do that, I probably say I won't do that. I probably will do that too, knowing me. But anyway, I don't want to apologize for repeating on certain things, because I know that there's a need for things to be repeated. How many times, we hear salvation is by grace, We hear the fact that we need to repent. Do those lessons ever really get old? Do we ever get so good at loving God because of His grace that we don't need to hear about His grace for us? Do we ever get so good at repenting, forgiving, loving our neighbors that we don't ever need to hear about that anymore? So the answer is no. And I'll go ahead and help you with it. This is not one of those, I won't give you multiple choice, give you four possible answers. I'll just go tell you, no, we can't hear these things, probably too much. And so, as Peter said, he wanted to put them in remembrance of these things. We then emphasized some things over in 2 Timothy, where Paul told Timothy, reminded Timothy in a time of discouragement to remember that he had seen in him the same faith that he had seen in his mother and his grandmother. And then as he goes on through this book, he says, now I want you to put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive, talking about God's people, that they not strive about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So part of what the charge of Paul to the young preacher was is put the people in remembrance, not to be fussing and fighting about words. To no profit. In fact, it subverts the hearers to be arguing and fussing about some of these kind of things sometimes. And then he goes on and tells Timothy to study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So as you go on through that third chapter, and some of where we finished up, I think one of the last times I talked on this particular area, Paul is telling Timothy to remember and to tell the people to remember that in the last days perilous times are going to come. And that men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And he goes through a whole list. that I will not repeat. I'll just tell you 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you want to look through there, that people will be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, truce breakers, incontinent, on and on and on, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And when I look around, this may have been true in years past, but I know in today's world that we're living in, people have become more and more sucked into the world of loving entertainment, loving what they love, and, you know, having themselves edified to their own flesh more than they're saying, you know what, I need to make sure that how I conduct myself is in accord with God's word. And so I think the message that Paul gave to Timothy as a young preacher to share with the people, to remind the people, is just as apropos today for me to share with you and to say, you need to remember that the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, inspired Paul to write these things all these years ago to remind the people that it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Evil men are going to wax worse and worse. The world is going to continue to go down, but it doesn't mean we have to go down. And it says, I'm going to start a little bit here in this third chapter, the latter part of the third chapter, because he goes on and tells them, what's the cure to this? What do you do? Timothy, things are waxing worse and worse, so what are you going to do? Here's what he tells them, starting with verse 14, chapter 3, and this is kind of bridging back to some things that we talked about before, but I'll go into that for just a minute. He says, in verse 14, after he says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You know, I'll just say this. You know, that seems like almost a verse in between other verses that we normally think of as being important. But, you know, if you pay attention to that particular verse there, he says, Timothy, stay in the things that you've learned and remember, if you be assured, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You know, it's really important who you learn things from. You know, as we come here on a Sunday and we hear God's word and you say, you know, I learned that from God's word. Okay, what kind of stacking order do I put that in? I learned this in college. I learned this from my friends. I learned this from the nightly news. I learned this by reading a book. I learned this from God's word. You know, now that's visual. You know, or do we say, hey, I learned this from God's word. There's the high standard. That's the plateau mark for where everything begins. Other things are good. Other things are good to be learned. Be careful who you learn them from and what you've learned and who the source was. Because some people might not be totally honest in everything they teach and who you've learned things from. So you've got to be careful who you're learning from. So Timothy says, or Paul says to Timothy, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Not only are they the kind of people that deceive people, but they also go about being deceived a lot of times, being sucked into various things. But he says, continue thou. You may have a world full of deceivers who are being deceived. You may have a world full of evil men that are waxing worse and worse. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and be assured, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So your assurance, Timothy, comes from knowing who you learned them from. And so as we think about this today, we ought to put high honor, first of all, on God's word. I learned that from God's word. God's word says to continue in studying God's word. I learned this from Brother Adam. I learned this from Brother Austin. I learned this from Brother Charles. I learned this from Sister Hazel. These are things I learned about how to be a better husband, a better wife, a better mother, a better father. Who did I learn it from, and what kind of priority or ranking do I put that on? Okay? Well, continue. He says, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Timothy, remember, you learned a lot of this from me. Paul is saying. Remember who you've learned it from. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, Timothy, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproving, for correcting, for instruction in righteousness, that God's man, God's children, it doesn't just mean the men, by the way, God's children might be thoroughly furnished to everything that's good. You want to know what, you want to know how to do good? You know, we're always saying, well, I want to do more good in the world. Get your head in the Bible. You want to do more good? You know, some people get to thinking that the only place they can do good is outside the home and family. Yeah, I want to do good in the community. Raise up a good bunch of children. Be a good loving husband. Be a good loving wife. Be a good church member. Then if you get good at that, carry that on out to the, you'll have more credibility then in the community if you start first with keeping things right at home. All right? So you know where you learn that kind of stuff? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable so that God's people are thoroughly furnished. You want to know how to be the best you can be? Turn into God's Word. So, with all of that said then, Paul turned to Timothy. I say turned. I almost feel like it was almost like he was talking to him, like I'm talking to you. So then he turns and says, I charge thee therefore before God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished to all good works. And he says, I charge thee then before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Timothy, evil men are going to wax worse and worse. In the last days, perilous times are going to come. The men are going to be lovers of themselves, of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers. You get the idea, right? Over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So he comes over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and what does he say? Timothy, I charge you in the face of how things are going to be in the last days, of all these perilous times, all these evil things, preach the word. Don't go looking for some other source. Don't go looking for some other something. Don't go looking for the latest, high-tech invention or whatever. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. I don't know that I've ever really, in some sense, but, you know, sometimes you just think in ministers who study God's word, sometimes you can be wrong on these things. Sometimes you read something in Scripture, though, and you just know what it means. Yeah, be instant in season and out of season. Well, when I think about things being in season, I think about crops coming in. In the season, when you get to the right season, the corn and the peas and all this stuff, the apples, the oranges, all that stuff come in. But sometimes you're out of season. Sometimes it's not time for the fruit to bear, you know, for vines to bear fruit. I can tell you, if you're looking for muscadines right now, you're going to be in bad shape, because it's going to be about September, October that they're going to come out there, and you see them falling off the trees, making a mess, you know, in wherever they are. But that's the season for them. He said, be instant in season and out of season. Timothy, there's going to be times when you're going to see the blessings of God, the fruit's going to pour in your ministry, and you're going to, you know, you're going to get thinking, man, I'm good. Look at how this thing's being blessed. It's the season. God's blessing it to be a season. There's also going to be times when it's out of season. There's going to be times when it's wintertime. you're going to look around and say, where's the life right now in my ministry, in my church, in the things? And it looks like it's become wintertime. There's no fruit being born. He said, Timothy, it's not your job to say, well, it's out of season. Got to go home now. No, be instant, in season and out of season. You be the same. You keep preaching the word. You keep doing the same thing. You just keep following, trusting, preaching, pastoring, serving. Doesn't matter if you're seeing the result of it right now or you're not seeing the result. God is responsible for the result. And you know, sometimes it's hard for ministers to keep that in mind. You know, the best preaching and the worst preaching that sometimes that we do, you know, the best of what we can do, you may not see anything because God's not blessing at that time. The worst of what we can do, sometimes you might see blessings poured in. You're thinking, well, that's the worst message I've ever preached in my life. And, you know, five people joined the church today or whatever. You know, you're wondering, how did that happen? It happened because God blessed it to be that way that day. And ministers need to learn I'm supposed to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needed not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing word and truth. Study, 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 study so that you can bring things before God's people. But remember, all the studying, all the preaching in the world, if it's not mixed with the Holy Spirit, if it's not blessed of God, it'll be out of season. and you won't see the benefits of these things. Okay, so Timothy preached the word. In spite of these perilous times, in spite of everything that's going on in the world, people being lovers of themselves, the answer is God's word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. You know, a lot of times, you know, that's good. There's a good lesson in that for us ministers, because the Bible, what he starts off says, reprove and rebuke. Some ministers get in the reprove and rebuke mode and forget to exhort. Sometimes God's people just need encouragement. They need the uplifting message from the Word of God to carry them through. Sometimes you need to be reproved and rebuked. and that's our job to do that as well. Because God's given us that charge. But he says, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Then I got to read the rest of it, right? Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Even in your exhortation, your encouragement, he says, do it with long suffering. You know why? You know why Paul no doubt said that? He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, because no matter how much encouragement the minister may give God's people from time to time, he needs to be patient with them. He needs to be long suffering with them, because he won't always see the results he would like to see instantly, just like that. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, for the time will come. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know, that sounds weird. It's weird language, maybe a little bit, but I think all Paul's trying to tell us, they're endure, for the time will come when they will not endure good teaching. He's warning Timothy. He's warning Timothy, and through Timothy, he's warning us today. Timothy, there's going to come a time when people don't really want to hear this. They want to hear what they want to hear. And there's some of that today, right? I mean, no doubt, a lot of times people want to be told how good, you know. If I call a name, see, it would get recorded, so I'm not going to do that. But I could go around and tell you how good you are. And I could tell you how wonderful you are, and I could tell you God loves you, which would be true, and how wonderful you are, and all these things, but I wouldn't be reproving and rebuking, exhorting, and it would probably itch your ears, because some people like to be told, you're good, I'm good, we're good, boy, we're all good, isn't that wonderful? But sometimes we need to hear the other side of who we are too. Right? And we don't need a full message of either one of them all the time. You don't need to, you know, the truth is we're just old depraved sinners struggling through this world, day to day, trying to do some good things here and there and failing many times at what we really try to do. And so he says, but the time's going to come when people don't want to hear sound doctrine. I'll go ahead and do this. Today, when, you know, you mentioned, if you get into a conversation with somebody, and I don't recommend this as being the first conversation you have with somebody, but, you know, if the time comes to, well, have you ever read about election in the scriptures? No, we don't believe in getting into all those deep doctrinal things in God's word. That's for God to all sort all that out. You know, we don't worry about that where I worship at it. You know, we just want to talk about Jesus for a little while. Well, that's good. You know, and I think talking about Jesus is ought to be the center part of the gospel. Because if we fail to remember the resurrection and what we talked about last week and how that's a memorial for us to remember and point back to how God delivered us on the cross from our sins and from eternal woe and torment. If we don't remember that, we've forgotten what the gospel's about. Okay, but, you know, there's other things taught in the scripture about how God worked all of that out for us. How God gave a lamb, and how that lamb was an atonement for you and me, and what his blood represented in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and all those things that are pulled together there, and how God chose a people before the foundation of the world. All those things are taught in God's Word, and God, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine and for reproof. And so people, when people get to the point, they say, well, you know, I know that's in the Bible, but I, you know, there'll come a day when people will not endure sound doctrine. They just don't want to hear, you know, I don't want to hear about all that. Don't tell me about all that. Just tell me about Jesus loving me, and you know, and I, that's great. Let's know more than all that. Let's learn more about what God did for us and what God accomplished for us. And he says, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Wow. Okay, don't want to. I've always been taught thus and so. Well, the Bible says this. Don't want to know that. I know what I've always been taught. Okay, right? Am I exaggerating to the point too much? You know that. So the time will come. You know when he says they shall turn away their ears from the truth and they shall be turned unto fables. Just tell me something that you know. Tell me something I've always heard, something I know, you know, but don't tell me what the Bible says about it. Don't read me a scripture, you know, and those kind of things. Don't let that ever be us. Don't let that ever be you and me. You know, if there's a time, you know, we've talked about it. There's a lot of things that we don't do well, a bunch of them. As much as we think we know about the scriptures, there's things where the Bible talks about fasting. Setting aside a day where we cause, you know, and I understand medical stuff. Don't, you know, we don't have to talk about all that, but I'm just saying there's a day when we can fast away from what this old body tells us it wants every 30 minutes or every hour, 2 hours or 4 hours. And we can afflict the body a little bit and be in prayer to God. And God says when we do that, he will bless us. He will meet with us there. We ought to teach that. Right? We ought to teach that, and then we ought to practice that as well and put that into use. Well, so it's not that we're doing everything we should do either, okay? So he says, but people turn their ears away from the truth and should be turned into fables. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And I'll not go on to the rest of this fourth chapter. It's good stuff, okay? And you can read through this. But Paul says, the reason Paul's trying to drive all this home to Timothy, he says, for I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. So, Paul is telling, we got history majors in here, or history lovers or whatever. You know, a lot of people today, including me, you know, look back on some things like George Washington's farewell address to the nation. There were a lot of warnings given to the United States of America in George Washington's farewell address. He was warning them about getting too involved and tangled in foreign affairs and different things. You know, he was telling them and warning them about those people that might try to destroy the nation from within. Go back and read some of those warnings. Paul is giving a warning to Timothy. He knows his time's short. He doesn't know, you know, maybe exactly what day it's going to be, but he knows his time is coming, and he's trying to pass it along to the men that are coming after him. I'm trying to do that too, whether it's to Brother Adam, Brother Austin, Brother Derek, or other young men among the congregation. I want you to understand what God's Word teaches and the principles there. Brother Allen, I want y'all to understand these things because the time of my departure will be at hand one of these days. And I want you to understand what God's word teaches and not what you just what you think or what others think, and don't go out there trying to mold ourselves into the world. Fit yourselves according to God's word. Okay. So remember these things, all right? All right, turn over to Revelation. That got your attention, didn't it? Turn over to Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to go to chapter 3 first. And I may go back and touch on chapter 1 because John is on the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's Day. He's been in prison there because he's preaching the word. He's been in prison there by the Romans to get him away from the churches. And, you know, they could get him away from the churches, but they couldn't get him away from the Lord. So John's on the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's Day, and the Lord appears to him. And he gives him a message to give to the seven churches of Asia. And he wants to make sure, I think, it probably wasn't that hard. You know, John had walked with the Lord himself when he was here on the earth. So it wasn't that hard for the Lord, for John to figure out who it was that was appearing to him. But he did look different. Even though John, James, and Peter had been with him up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he revealed some of his glory to them there while he was still walking here on the earth. But now he's appeared to John in a totally different appearance than anything he ever had while he was here on earth. And so he begins to tell John, I'm the Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. That's chapter 1, verse 8, by the way. So he comes to him and tells him who he is. And he tells him again, says in verse 11, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. Tells him which churches to send it to. And I turned to see the voice that spake to me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. If you've lost me, chapter 1, verse 12. And he says, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed in a garment down to his foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were as white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet like unto a fine brass, as if they had burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right many waters. Must have had a crowd of waters there. Anyway, so he had his right hand seven stars. And he says, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was the sun as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet. You know, there's nothing wrong with us. I love to see some of y'all. Sometimes you get excited. Sister Loretta gets excited. You know, she goes to praising the Lord a little bit with her hand and waving and doing that. But you know, I want to say this, you know, if we ever find ourselves in the presence of the Lord, we're not going to be standing up. We're going to be going down. So when I get this idea sometimes of worship, you know, they used to have the kneeling. Some of these churches had kneeling benches. You know, I just almost see us, if things got so glorious in here one day, we just felt like the Lord himself was appearing to us, we'd all just kind of fall down in the floor and say, you know, Lord, I cannot stand in your presence. We saw it on the Mount of Transfiguration when the Lord himself revealed his glory there. James and John and Peter fell to their knees. And when Peter raised up his head, Elijah and Moses were gone, and the only one that was left was Christ. So here we have this same appearing again. He's talking about he turned to see the voice, and when he turned to see the voice, here's what he saw, and he fell to his knees. I'm telling you, when you get in the presence of the Lord, you're so humbled and feel so poor and so sinful, you don't feel like you can stand there. And so John, it says, fell down. Right. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet, verse 17, and he laid in his right hand upon me and said, fear not. Oh, yeah. Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. You want to know who this is? Do you think he's trying to hide out who he is? This is he that liveth and was dead. You want to talk about the one that rose from the dead? Christ himself said, we talk about the resurrection. Is the resurrection true? Christ said, I am he that liveth and was dead. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest at my right hand, and the seven candlesticks. The stars are the angels of the seven churches. That's messengers, by the way. And the seven that's not preachers. I don't believe that's the preachers necessarily. We are messengers. But I don't know that we're angels. Okay, so he says, the seven stars are the seven angels of the churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So, now then, I'm going to skip past chapter 2 over to chapter 3 because I want to tie some things in to 2 Timothy. All right. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write. Well, okay, so maybe it is the ministers he's writing to a little bit. So he says, and the angel of the church of Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. So they had a name that said, hey, you're alive. But he says, but you're dead. Sometimes we might get to thinking we're alive, but God might know different. All right? And I think that's what's under consideration here. The church at Sardis, he says, write the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. So I want you to get a picture of a plant. I know Sister Doris and I were talking yesterday, and I sure hope I'm right. If I turn out to be wrong, she's going to really gig me on this. You know, say, oh, Charles, you missed that one. There's a hickory tree in our backyard. Been there since we moved there. There was another hickory tree that I say was the daddy or the mama tree. It blew over in a hurricane several years ago. We had to cut it down. But these hickory trees, the leaves are always like the last tree that sprouts out. Every year. Now there's all different types of hickories. I understand that. This one particular hickory tree is always the last one. Well, she's out there the other day and she says, hey, I believe the tree's dead. I said, nope, just hasn't sprouted out yet. Just hasn't shown the leaves that are going to come on it. And of course, now if it doesn't come out, she's going to say, I told you it was dead. She's not. I'm not meaning that bad. Y'all just take me. So anyway, he says there are but plants. Okay, so now we got a dogwood tree. Dogwood tree's got some limbs on it that are dead. And then it's got some that's live, that's got blooms on it. But it's got other limbs that are dead. And I've watched dogwoods in that yard for the last 23 years, and that's the way that's the cycle of the dogwoods. Limbs die, limbs live. Sometimes the tree finally succumbs and you have to cut it down, and that's the hard-headedest wood in the world, try to cut through with a chainsaw. It's a hard wood to try to cut. It really is. And so he says, be watchful. He says, thou hast a reputation that thou livest, but thou art dead. And he says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Sometimes the old plant's got a few limbs that are living. He says, you better strengthen what you got. And if you don't strengthen what you got, he says, they're going to die because they're ready to die too. Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Our works are not all that they should be before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Now, what are we supposed to remember? Remember how thou hast received and heard. As you think about God's word, remember what you've received and remember what you've heard, and hold fast to what you got and repent. Every time we think about You know, whether it's churches, church families, churches, individuals, what we need to do is remember what we've heard and received, hold fast to that, and repent from the things that we're not doing. That was the answer to the church at Sardis 2,000 years ago. Well, nearly 1,900 years ago to the church at Sardis. God gave John a message to give the church, and the message to the church was, remember what you've received, what you've heard, received, and heard. Hold fast to it and repent. What was the message Paul gave to Timothy? Preach the word. Preach the word, Timothy. Be instant in season and out of season. What is our job as a church then? Hold fast to the things you've heard and received, and repent from the things that you're not doing, so that the things that are alive in the church will grow. We want the church to grow. We want the church to prosper. And there's more ways to grow and prosper than just in numbers. Oh, I want to see it grow in numbers, don't you? It's like, I won't use the name. I have told other churches where I have been on other occasions, because we can get into this mindset, and I understand from one sense, well, the numbers don't matter. I said, okay, numbers don't matter. When there's nobody here, there's no church, the numbers matter. Okay? Numbers matter about having people here in the church. They do matter. And we ought to be encouraging, inviting, seeking, desiring people to come and worship with us. If you enjoy it, if you think I do a halfway decent job, God blesses me somehow, and Brother Adam, you ought to say, you know what? I want you to come hear my minister preach. I want you to come hear the message that he brings out of God's word. And so he says, remember, therefore, that how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch. Okay, here's the other side of it. Remember what you've received and heard, and hold fast and repent. if therefore thou shalt not watch. If you're not gonna pay any attention to God's word, Sardis. If you're not going to pay any attention to the preaching, I, Christ, who's giving the message, I will come unto thee as a thief. I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. He's not going to tell you when he's going to come. He's just telling you, I'm going to come. And he says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but will confess his name before my Father and his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So hear, repent, remember. If you'll not hear and remember, I'm going to come and I'm going to remove you from the book of life. That's not taking your name out of heaven's rolls, by the way, because if it was, then he couldn't give you eternal life that wasn't eternal, and so forth. But he can't. He says, but I will not confess you before the Father. I think this book that's under consideration here is a book where God keeps tally on some things that says, I'm hearing this person. I'm listening to this person. I hear his prayers. There can come a time when we can get in a place where he'll not confess you before the Father. You're praying and saying, Lord, come and bless my home, let me bless this church. And he's like, y'all are dead. You know why you're dead? Because I removed the candlestick. I removed it. You didn't follow after me. You didn't hold fast. You didn't repent. You didn't hold fast and hear and receive God's word. And God has now declared the plant dead. You can dig it, dung it, fertilize it. You can do whatever you want to. It's still dead. Okay? And I'll tell you, we ought to be praying and desiring God's blessing. We ought to be seeking God and his word and desiring that for the church, because that's how we grow. That's how you grow as a family. That's how we grow as a church. And if we don't, my friends, God may decide, you're dead. In the Old Testament, he says he wrote Ichabod over the door, right? It's done. I've closed it. I've closed the doors on that one. Doesn't mean you're not a child of God anymore. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you. But the blessings will be gone. And we need to be desiring that God's blessings are not gone. Okay, so remember what you've received. Remember, Timothy says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Preach God's word and so forth. Now, under the angel of the church at Ephesus, write these things. Chapter 2, we're going to go back now over to chapter 2. Because he says, under the angel of the church at Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which are the churches. Do you know what? I heard when I was up at Milan, Tennessee a few weekends ago, preaching up there, talking to some brethren, you know, and I think I'm in the right place because I've had a couple of conversations lately, so I might have forgotten. But the comment was made, says, how would you act if Jesus Christ was sitting in church this morning? How would your attendance be? How would your timeliness be? How would your attentiveness be? If Jesus Christ was sitting in here this morning, how would it be? All right. Under the angel of the church at Ephesus, write these things. He that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The golden candlesticks are the church. You know who walks in the midst of them? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ walks in the midst of the churches, my friends, and we ought to pay attention when we're here and be in a timeliness about our church and our worship, thinking Christ is here. I'm in His presence this morning. Now, how am I doing? Would He be impressed? Or would He come in throwing the bitches out like He did the money changers, you know, in Jerusalem that day when He sees how we're doing? I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. So good, so far, so good. You know, they're bearing down on, you know, being, watching, doing. I know your works. I know your patience and your labor. You hate evil. You've tried them that say they're apostles and are not. And has borne and has patience for my name's sake. And has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I'm not saying us. I'm just saying this is a warning. This is warnings. You know, to Ephesus, it was a charge. you've left your first love. To us, it could be true, but to us as a church, this is a warning to us. To say, you know what? You can come here and do all the right things. You can go through the motions. You can try them that are apostles. You can hate evil. You can do all that. But if you're forgetting why you're doing it, if you're forgetting why you serve God, if you're forgetting why you worship this one that died for us and lives for us, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember. There we are. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is amidst the paradise of God, and so forth. So, remember, sometimes what we need to do is remember where we've fallen from. Do you say, well, I don't have the joy I once had in being in church. Where have you fallen from? Remember where you've fallen from. Remember why you're here, that you love this one that loved us when we were unlovable. Remember this, repent, do your first works. God will help us to overcome these things. And I'll tell you, it'll be a blessing. It'll be a blessing to you and me. So that, you know, I don't know if that totally brings an end to the things of subjects of remembrance and memorials, but it's real close. So I hope we'll remember to repent, remember what we've heard, remember to preach God's word. And if you've fallen from these things, remember from where you've fallen and repent. Get back to what God would have us to be. there's evil men are waxing worse and worse. The world is going, the last days, perilous times are going to come. Remember, God's word is the mark and the standard for God's children. May God bless you. It's our prayer.
We'll stand and sing a song. If somebody would like to join the church, then you come forward while we sing, and then we'll go into our business meeting. And so somebody have a number that we can say.
187.
Number 187.